Morning, Joan. Welcome back to the program.
And another hot day in Rome. Very we can't even say warm. We have to say hot. But the past days have been, I would call them brutal, really. Just the blistering sun. If you're out in the middle of the day, as you've probably noticed, the shady side of the street is the crowded side of a street, because I think even psychologically it makes a huge difference just to not have that sun on top of you.
And the melting tarmac.
Yes, exactly.
You know, heels to sink in.
Exactly. And but as my mother would always say, if things that were unpleasant, this too shall pass. You know, so. But then again, in the middle of winter, we're going, oh, this raging cold. You know, we can't stand it. So I guess we're never happy.
And notwithstanding this quiet time of the year, we've had quite an intense week as far as papal events have been going.
We have. And the Pope has been enjoying some cooler weather. Mm-hmm. The first part of his stay in Lake Como, of course, was a little bit nicer than the last part of his stay last weekend. And when he went into the Cathedral d'Aosta for Vespers and so forth. So most of our activity this week has been focused on the Pope. And he, of course, returned to Casa Gandolfo after his 16-day stay, and during which he broke his right wrist, everybody knows. And so he returned to Casa Gandolfo on the 29th. And he will be enjoying the presence of his brother, Monsignor Georg Ratzinger, who has been spending every August at Casa Gandolfo. And I'm sure that's a wonderful thing, because I understand, of course, the apartments are clean and aired out and carpets are, you know, cleaned and
And for
drapes
those who don't know Casa Gandolfo, it's up on the hills. And
it,
so it's
it's
cool
in, what's,
in the evening.
It's in what's called the Castelli Romani, the Roman hill towns. A lot of green kind of foresty areas, just driving from one home, one estate, to the others, really quite lovely. And then a great part of the Vatican, Vatican II, if you want to call Casa Gandolfo, a great part of that is actually a farm. Probably half of the total land, I think it's 27 hectares, is a very workable farm.
And absolutely, with its own produce.
It's easier for them in the summer to bring it to the Holy Father, because it's a question of a few hundred feet or something, whereas during the year they bring the fresh products at 6 or 7 in the morning to the Vatican, you know, so that's quite a trek. But anyway, the Pope is relaxing and enjoying that, and I'm sure he'll enjoy his brother. And I understand that they had a piano tuner come in as well as cleaning the apartment. Now, the Holy Father won't be able to play for probably another 3 weeks. I'm guessing that after the cast is off, that therapy that they will suggest will be playing the piano. So I know his brother will be there. He does have eye problems, the Pope's brother, and he's 85. But I believe he also plays the piano. I know he played the organ, directed the choir in Regensburg for 30 or 40 years. So it's been a quiet, wonderful time for the Pope. He had a couple of outings, and one of them, actually, I mentioned a minute ago, his visit to the cathedral at Aosta. What was so amazing, there were 400 religious, there were the bishops, you know, the local pastors and so forth, and there were 400 priests, religious, and lay representatives from all the parishes in the diocese. And the Pope gave a 15-minute, totally off-the-cuff homily. He spoke in the most beautiful way. It was the most beautiful lesson. And then, of course, you know, people were like taking notes, or I guess, you know, Vatican Radio was there recording it, because they afterwards had the transcribed version. It was all about our relationship with God and God's presence on earth, that nothing counts, nothing is important, nothing matters if God is not part of it, certainly with our lives. In our lives. And he said, if we do without God, if God is absent, and I love this, we lack the compass to show us the path, the direction we must follow. And it was just an amazing, amazing homily. And he talked about the power. He said, you know, he highlighted how the pinnacle of God's power is mercy and forgiveness. But our modern concept is totally different. It's about power is what we think people who possess great property have. They have power because they have things and they can influence the market. Much of that is true, but that's just one way to interpret power. And he says, we think of those with great military power who have the power to threaten, those with great possessions who have power to influence markets or make judgments. And he said, those are powers that can be dangerous and they can threaten and destroy. But in his mercy, God shows his true power. But I mean, can you imagine all of this flowing, one thought flowing right into the next with a coherence and a logic that was so beautiful? But again, I think you and I know from listening to him so much that the Holy Father is a very coherent man and a wonderful teacher. We've seen it in recent documents. We saw this in this totally off-the-cuff remark. So that was his last. No, Sunday was the Angelus.
Was the Angelus. It was the day he sent his blessings and greetings to grandparents
yes.
all over the world.
Well, he talked about the importance of grandparents as educators, just passing. They're the repositories of the faith, of family history,
right.
of values, of so many things. After that, he had a couple more meetings before he left for Castel Gandolfo. One, of course, was to thank all the personnel, the military, the security people, his own from the Vatican and those from the region who helped make his stay. I mean, he was talking to lay people. He was talking to young kids and thanking them for making his vacation such a peaceful and serene one. And, of course, he wished them an accident-free
yes.
vacation. But I think his best remarks were said, trying to remember now if it was the morning he left when he was addressing the military and the police and the security people and all. And he said, "You've been my very quiet, silent guardian angels." And he said, "But, you know, I have to think that my guardian angel wasn't around and didn't stop me from falling." And he said, "I'm sure it was on orders from on high." And he said, I'm thinking that maybe the Lord just wanted to have me rest some more and learn a lesson in humility. And this, my dear, from a man who is already so humble that the rest of us could be put to shame. So I really kind of love it when I know or suspect the Pope's going to speak off the cuff, because he does say some very, very wonderful things.
Anyway, while he was away, while he was in the mountains, here in the Vatican, there were some important happenings this week. First of all, Bertone's speech on Tuesday on the encyclical to the Italian Senate.
Well, that was really quite amazing. And Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, of course, Secretary of State, made this address and to the Senate. And, of course, Congress and everybody's just about to go on vacation here. But it was very interesting because he tried to take to put the Pope's latest encyclical, Caritas in Veritate, in a more positive light than some of the press since July 7th, when it came out, then some of the press has kind of emphasized maybe some of the negative things. Governments, must do this and can't.
Although it's been pretty well received.
It has been very well received.
Yeah.
It is a social encyclical, and it gets right to the heart of what's wrong with, the crisis today.
It's also triggered a lot of interest.
But he really certainly wanted to emphasize government's responsibility so that we can avoid the problems that we've seen in the mm-hmm. last one, especially last year, but the last 2 years, and this huge crisis. And it's very interesting. He says, and this became the headline in so many of the papers, Cardinal Bertone said a main point of the Pope's encyclical is that the crisis is the result of human greed and a mistaken idea that the maximization of profit is the only value a free market is ethically obliged to follow. Well, of course, that's insane. And he said this has resulted in giving legitimacy to greed, which is the best known and most widespread form of avarice, he says. And he said it's a sort of a civic virtue, the greed market instead of the free market. And he highlighted another thing. He said a fallacy to believe that the economy can or should operate independently of human values and independently of man being at the center of it. So he said the market must be guided by and judged according to its impact on people. So it actually was a very powerful talk on that. And that did get a lot of very good coverage in the press also. But the headline was, Church condemns greed of today's markets. Yeah, true.
And that was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the Pope's theme for the 2010 World Day of peace message was released. It was a very green theme, wasn't it?
And if you look through Benedict's pontificate, how many times he does mention the environment, and ecology, the green.
Absolutely.
And he says, the title is, If You Want to Cultivate Peace, Protect Creation. And a communique that the Vatican published on Wednesday said, this theme aims to raise awareness about the strong bond that exists in our globalized and interconnected world between protecting creation and cultivating peace. And it talked about many of the new challenges that man faces today in the use of resources, climate change, and the application use of biotechnology. And the Vatican communique said, if the human family, and this will be woven throughout the document, and Peace Day, by the way, of course, is always January 1st.
Right.
So January 1st, 2010 will be the 43rd World Day of Peace. But again, these challenges of biotechnology, climate change, and so forth, the communique said, if the human family is unable to face these new challenges with a renewed sense of social justice and equity and of international solidarity, we run the risk of sowing seeds of violence among peoples. And really just think about that, and between peoples and between the current generations and those to come. And so they, and then the document for World Peace Day is going to use as some of its guidelines paragraphs 48 through 51 of the encyclical Caritas in Veritate. And 48, for example, begins, it says, today, the subject of development is closely related to the duties arising from our relationship to the natural environment, which is God's gift to everyone. And in our use of it, we have a responsibility towards the poor, towards future generations, and humanity as a whole. And here's a sentence that really should make you sit up and think. When nature, including the human being, is viewed as the result of mere chance or evolutionary determinism, our sense of responsibility wanes. And it really does. When we have a kind of a fatalism about things, oh, well, that's the way it is. Things have never changed. Things have always been like that. We don't see ourselves as having responsibility or being able to be in control.
Okay, Joan. Thank you very, very much.
God bless.
As always, Joan doesn't miss a beat. Our thanks to her for bringing us her inside knowledge of the Vatican, and of course to my colleague and friend Linda Bordoni.